But right now, brought to our attention, again, as I mentioned just before the break, there was a story on Global News about challenges that the SPCA of Moncton was having, responding to the health and wellness needs of its workers. Here in Nova Scotia, nonprofit employers face the same challenges supporting their workforce. Most of the sector is funded for delivery of their missions and not for their operations or to support their workforce. So there are some things we need to talk about. We need to talk about with the people involved with Community Sector Council of Nova Scotia. And that is our guest right now that we'll point to, and Arlene McDonald, Executive Director, Community Sector Council. Happy International Women's Day.
Thank you, Sheldon. And thanks for having us. We're happy to have some space to talk about some of the workforce issues our women are facing.
So what is the Community Sector Council of Nova Scotia?
We are an industry council, and our industry is the not-for-profit sector, and our mandate is to work on the health and vitality and build the capacity of that sector.
Okay. Taking a look at the two phone numbers I have for you, you're in Pictou County?
I am, yes. Our whole organization is spread across the province.
Now, when we're talking about the nonprofit sector, and often we hear that it provides an incredible amount of value to community. Not only is it value, it's also GDP.
Absolutely. Our sector employs well over 30,000 people in the province and contributes over 7% to the GDP, and we all know our sector has a huge volunteer labor force, so we know that contributes, you know, another 2.6%, so 10%. Our sector contributes to the GDP. It's a significant employer in the province, absolutely.
And when we're also adding up the gender divide, what are we looking at there?
87% of our sector, Sheldon, is women, so when we're talking about workforce issues, we definitely don't want to lose sight of the fact that we are talking about a large number of women in this province.
Yeah, well, and we've talked a little bit about that throughout the afternoon. In fact, with a gender studies professor at Mount St. Vincent University, talking about how to perhaps move past some of the challenges and move into recognizing the value of the workforce that we have and not devaluing one sector simply for reasons of gender. When we talk about what needs to be looked at, what should be addressed, what kinds of things would you like us to talk about today?
Well, I think there's some immediate urgency around some of the HR issues that the sector has that we need to be working on right now. Pensions, for example, only 35% of the sector has no pensions, or a third of the sector has no health benefits. There's quite a large deficit in sound succession planning capacity in the sector. So that's an issue that we would definitely like to start working on in the sector. And, you know, the compensation rates right now, we're definitely struggling as a sector just to sustain our current workforce and the talent that we're seeing in the workforce. And, there's definitely some immediate issues. And then we'd like to think a bit long term. How do we build the capacity in our sector to be prepared for workforce changes and to be thinking about sound HR planning practices and things like that, and to have the sustainability to be able to do that really is a primary issue in our sector is just the instability of the sector.
You wanted to bring to our attention, obviously, the story that came out of Moncton about the SPCA there. And in some cases, when we think of nonprofit, we think of volunteers. There are positions, paid positions within many of the organizations. But as you point out, we're still getting great value for money. And in part, that's because it's coming at the cost of the employees.
Absolutely. And, you know, the SPCA, their struggle with trying to respond to the health and wellness needs of their staff and the cost of staff going off on stress leave and losing skilled and dedicated staff because of those issues, you know, that's felt across the whole sector. In fact, as a sector council, we're constantly consulting with the sector, and one of the top priorities that comes up over and over again is self-care and compassion leave and those HR issues. And so, you know, a sector of women really who have dedicated their lives for very little compensation to their communities are suffering really as a consequence of that. And, you know, we see that absolutely in the firefighters, the first responders. Those are all part of the people that are part of our sector, domestic violence workers. There's a lot of need in our sector to be able to respond to our sector's health and wellness needs.
I love that you point this out, and I think this needs to be stressed. Organizations are forced to concentrate on raising resources to keep the doors open, often at the expense of the issue that they're trying to move the needle on. And when I was involved with one group, it said, well, we need to start farming out, contracting out our fundraising, and then it seems unfair that, you know, a group, a company, a business is taking 75 cents from every dollar they collect. And again, that's money that's directly coming out of the pockets of these community organizations. So when we're talking about perhaps resetting the conversation or perhaps putting the needle down where it should go, how do we do that when we're talking about a sector that, you know, for the most part we look at as, well, they've always been there, they're always going to be there?
Well, I think that's definitely this mindset we've had. We've put a lot of investing into the private sector, I think, with the mindset that if we build wealth, that will resolve our social issues. And so the social sector, as we've always been, I think, perceived as being, has only received supports to support those people that aren't, that have been excluded sort of from that system. And, you know, we see a international awakening to the fact that that doesn't necessarily bring the social and economic prosperity that we had hoped it would as a society.
Right.
And so that, you know, there's a definite intersection between economic and social development. And so for our sector to participate in that, they need to really be resourced to have the skills and the compensation packages and the competitiveness that the other sectors have. And so, you know, it's hard to get people to volunteer those skills. So if we want our sector to be able to continue to do that, they need to be resourced. And of course, the challenge to this is there is no body, Sheldon, within neither the federal government or the provincial government that's actually tasked with working with our sector on these workforce issues or on the health and vitality or the future of the sector or its workforce.
Arlene McDonald, Executive Director, Community Sector Council. What is this recommendation of the federal government to the Special Senate Committee?
We've made a recommendation, along with some of our national partners, that the federal government create a structure or a home within government to work with the sector on its workforce issues and on the health and sustainability of the sector across the country. I mean, there's issues as basic as deficit in labor market information. The information that I shared with you today comes from a one-time study that we were able to resource in Nova Scotia in 2010. So, you know, it's really difficult for our sector to get the resources it needs when we have even basic deficits in who our sector is and those ability to describe the workforce issues and you know, get a really good picture of who the workforce is.
Hmm. You know, I find it interesting when we hear about male politicians who decide to step aside because they want to perhaps spend more time with family, perhaps bring more balance to their lives, whereas women are expected to not only have that role, but to also have a career. And it seems like there's more pressure on women to do more.
Well, I would agree with that, Sheldon. I think we see that in family and definitely in the workforce. But I mean, in our workforce, women are very dedicated, and because of the lack of pensions and low compensation rates and their passion for the cause, and partly our inability as HR planners to have good transition plans, they're not leaving the workforce. They're staying in part because it to leave means to retire sometimes in poverty. So these women that have given so much, they are definitely staying in this workforce and committed to doing, you know, making changes in their communities.
All right. Well, we will leave it at that. Clearly, it's not the end of the conversation, though. Glad you reached out. Glad we were able to get you on the show. And we wish you well for this weekend and on this International Women's Day. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And happy International Women's Day to all the women in the not-for-profit sector and in the province.
Absolutely. Arlene McDonald. Cheers.
Thank you.
We're going to step away for a few seconds and back in just moments.